Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mads. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
We come to you on 98.5 on the FM dial in Boston. As always, we simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. They've followed us here. As usual, you can catch us on the stream and on the podcast as well on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Download that at your app store and catch us on the live stream or anything that you miss, any hour, segment, or show that you miss is posted on that as well. That's how you get us. I will have a giveaway for you guys coming up here in a few minutes. I'll do it this segment, so just stay tuned and I'll give you a chance to win something good for free. So incentive for you to stick around. We'll go right back to the phones. As promised, here's Ben in Boston on the Patriots. Hi, Ben.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Big fan of the show. Just had a few questions for you regarding the new offensive-defensive coordinator. With Patricia slated to go to the Lions and McDaniels going to the Colts. I know Bill likes to promote from within, but if he goes outside, who do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't think he goes outside. I don't think he goes outside. If anything, it's out. You know, it's like a... it's like a Brian Daboll, you know, who's already gone. Daboll went back to Buffalo. It'd be someone like that, a former coordinator who worked on his staff and bring him back. Otherwise, he goes inside.
Yeah, the only other guy that immediately comes to mind is Tom Capers, who got canned Green Bay, and
no thanks. We've got Sean in the truck. Oh no, I'm sorry, Mike in Salisbury. Go ahead, Mike. What do you got?
Hi guys, how are you doing today?
Good.
First, I just on the Betts comment. Betts is definitely gone. But what I wanted to call for, I wanted to put Maz to the talk about he thinks Philly's better from top to bottom. So I'm going to start at the top, and you tell me who's better. Coach, Maz?
Patriots.
Okay, quarterback?
Patriots.
Thank you. Okay, offense?
I think that Philly's got more weapons than you do.
Okay, well, New England ranks second, Philly ranks 13th. I know Mike loves facts. You ready? Defense. This one's
so you just so you, listen, Mike. We're not going to go through every spot on the roster on the field. You clearly think the Patriots have a better team than the Eagles do, and that's fine. I'm telling you,
gentlemen, just going through things with you. I got stats. That's what you guys like, stats.
Yeah, and I'm telling you.
Okay,
how about
defense?
Philadelphia
by 0.1. Do you understand that? In other words, New England gives up 18.5 a game. Philly gives up 18.4. Hang your hat on 0.1. With
so do you factor in teams,
we got the better tight end, and we rank better with receivers percentage. Also, our kicker ranks fourth in percentage. There's a 17th. I'm out. Thank you.
Okay, good.
So, Maz, how do you defend your pick, given all that statistical, that avalanche of statistical evidence?
Yeah, I defend my pick with my eyeballs. That's how I defend my pick. So I look at it, and I say I've watched the Eagles play, and I thought the guy that we had on earlier from PhiladelphiaEagles.com, what was his name again? Dave Spadaro?
Dave Spadaro.
Okay, I thought he made a good point about Philly's a more physical team, and I like those kinds of teams in general. But I do think that they have a wider, you know, I think they're a more balanced, deeper team than the Patriots. I can't get over the front seven on the Patriots defense. That's a problem. And I don't believe in the Patriots defense. You can throw whatever numbers you want at me, but who did they play down the stretch? Jay Cutler, Tyrod Taylor, Josh McCown, or the backup there, Bryce Petty. They played a collection of crap down the stretch of the final stretch of the season, including the playoffs.
Including the playoffs, sir.
So you got who? Marcus Mariota and Blake Bortles, for crying out loud. I'm not thinking all that clearly today, so it's taking me a while to process my thoughts. But the Patriots defense, to me, is a little bit of a paper tiger.
Sean in the truck. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Real quick, I'm wondering what you guys think of this theory and how much it might be true about the reason Garoppolo didn't go to Cleveland for the first-round pick. I think it's a possibility that maybe once Brady eventually retires and is done, Garoppolo is eventually going to come back to New England if they still have all the right pieces in place, and they couldn't really screw Cleveland out of a first-round pick if he was eventually going to leave in 2 or 3 years.
Sean, why would San Francisco let him go?
I mean, how long is his contract for?
They can franchise him every year if they want. So I'm not even asking you if Garoppolo wants to stay or not. He doesn't have control. Why would San Francisco let him go? They got the next great thing for a second-round pick. Why would they let that go? Why do people still call us on that?
Can you just maybe admit that they made a mistake with this player?
Well, see, that's exactly – Murray, you just nailed it. So, because it's not possible that Belichick made a mistake.
No, so Bill's playing chess while everyone else is playing checkies. You'll see. They won't be able to franchise him. Jimmy won't want it. And the marriage is going to happen again. Garoppolo and Belichick back together.
Yeah, see, I think it's because Bill is close with Shanahan's father. So he called Mike Shanahan and he asked him, can you have Kyle groom Jimmy and then send him back in 3 years?
Here's Mark.
They screwed it up. He's not coming back.
Mark,
it's over.
Mark in the van. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Like, this is either the most telling statistic ever, or it's just the most biggest coincidence ever. Under Belichick in the playoffs, the Patriots are 15-0 against teams they didn't play in the regular season. 15-0.
I think that's insane.
It is. It's a tremendous number.
So what is it?
15-0.
No, but what? What's the? Yeah, I haven't got it, Mark. What's the reason for it?
Look, I just think that Belichick's a thorough game planner and doesn't need to see teams many times to figure out what they do. I think he can process things very, very quickly. And so even if he hasn't seen a team, he can watch them on film and break it down and understand where the weaknesses are. That, to me, that's what it is more than anything. Now, look, there's always a benefit of firsthand experience when you're in any sort of game or encounter of any kind. But I think Bill can see it on film where other guys can't. He's peerless when it comes to film study and things like that. There's nobody like him. There never will be.
John in North Attleboro wants to weigh in on our Mookie Betts conversation. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I just wanted to know why Don Dombrowski's such an idiot. Why won't he just pay Mookie Betts the money that he deserves?
So, John, listen, I'm with you. I don't understand. And now, look, the long-term contract, that takes two to tango. So if Betts doesn't want to sign, you're going to have to blow him out of the water to get him to sign. Five for 100 is not enough. It's not enough. Not in this market. Knowing guys are making $35 million a year, it's not enough. So
yeah,
he doesn't want to sign him to a long-term deal, fine. But you got to go to arbitration with him over $3 million?
And then lose.
And you know what? It's really not even $3 million. Because if you file at 7-5 and they file at 10-5, you're willing to go to the middle. I'm sure the Red Sox were willing to go to $9 million. I'm sure they would have been totally happy with that outcome. So it's really about the extra $1.5 million that they would look at it and go, well, we're willing to go to $9 million, but you won't go to $10.5 million to avoid arbitration with your best player, and then you lose the case and end up paying it anyway? So now you've lost and you've pissed him off more. Terrific.
I mean,
great decision.
And you haven't been able to sign him. You haven't been able to sign him, not only to the long-term deal, like you said. You can't get him to come to terms on these little one-year deals. That's unbelievable. He didn't want to sign with you. John, did you have something else? A bad look, and then they lose on top of it. So it's like, see, you were being cheap on top of it all. You were wrong.
I mean, again, to me, I can't emphasize enough, given the history that they've had with the player thus far. Okay, he came up fast, he's played well, and they haven't been able to sign him. Try to foster some goodwill. Don't pick that fight. All you're doing now is, you're poking the animal. Like, now he's already mad, you're going to get him more mad. Like, he's going to resent you forever now. You took him to arbitration.
Here's Michael in Maine on Kirk Cousins. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, hi. I know top landing spots probably Buffalo or Denver, but what about the Cardinals? You know, David Johnson, and they got some players on defense. Just want to know your thoughts. Thanks.
That's another spot for sure. Cards. Where else?
See, I think if he goes to Arizona, they're going to suck.
I think they're going to suck either way. But I mean, I don't know. They need a quarterback.
I think it'll tell you about his, I guess, his sack. You know. It might not be an ideal situation to go to Buffalo, but that's a team that I think you can make an argument is kind of on the come, right? At least they have a good structure there in terms of defense. They squeaked into the playoffs. Go to Buffalo. It's not sexy, but you could win there. Arizona? What, so you can get a big payday and play out in the desert and be 8-8 for the next, whatever the hell the contract is going to be? Ugh.
Dude, right. I'll tell you, I give Cousins a lot of credit. I mean, he's bet on himself here. They've tried to sign him a couple of times. He said no. He keeps going, getting franchised and getting paid on one-year deals. His play hasn't really slipped. He's proven to be a pretty decent quarterback. If I'm him now, I'm looking at it going, no, I'm going to prove to people that I can win. So I'm going to a place like Denver.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do. Like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Had a concussion protocol?
Hopefully by tomorrow. I mean, we'll see how it goes and what the doctors say. I mean, I'm not the guy to say, oh, I'm out of the protocol. That's the doctor's calls. And hopefully that it's very, very soon.
But do you think you'll play, Gronk? Do you think you'll play on Sunday? Do you think you'll play on Sunday?
Yes.
You think you'll play?
Yes.
Oh, good.
All right.
Pete Prisco of CBS Sports. Here we are again, Pete.
Yeah. This is old hat for you
Here
guys.
Here we are again. Oh, yeah.
Everywhere. Patriots.
This is one of the great Patriots haters out there in the
national media. No, that's not true. That is not true. I am one of the guys out there that actually picks them apart a little bit.
You certainly do.
But I respect it. I mean, this is unheard of.
What's your level of Patriots fatigue, though, honestly?
I'm not. I think, you know why? I'm getting to the point now where 20 years from now, when I'm older, we're going to look back on this and say, wow. I mean, this is unreal.
It's unreal.
This doesn't happen in football. It's incredible. And, you know, I did something. I went to the Pro Bowl last week and talked to some Pro Bowl players. Is Tom Brady now the greatest individual athlete in a team sport? And these kids all grew up watching Michael Jordan, but they're playing with Tom Brady, and a lot of them said yes. I was surprised. Do you think he is?
I mean, he's on that level.
He's definitely, there.
Definitely.
Yeah, he's on that level.
And the point made was it's harder in football. You
definitely
get two guys in the NBA, you can go win titles.
That's right.
I mean, he is. He's on that level. There's no two ways about it. Like, we were talking earlier in the week, you start talking about great winners all time, and, you know, I'm getting into individual sports too, but Tiger Woods, I mean, Jack Nicklaus, Michael Jordan, Bill Russell, Tom Brady. I think he's in that discussion.
And you know, and if you look at Russell, they only had to win a couple series to win the whole thing, and he had Hall of Famers all around him, all right? The whole team was Hall of Famers. You look at individual sport, you got to throw them out there because I don't think that was different. But team sport, 8-16, technically, because the rookie year, and then you throw out the year he got in. He's half the years he's been in the league, he's been in the Super Bowl. And this team ain't that good.
It's not.
And let's be honest about it. This is one of the worst Patriots teams we've seen. So it even more so, you know, you guys know me. I used to be the Peyton Manning guy. I used to think, Tom's passed them. He's passed them all.
So you root for that story. You like this story versus fresh blood or different teams in here.
I mean, I think this is a great story. It's greatness. We're watching greatness. And yeah, and I picked Belichick apart, but he's great. You know, that's why when people ask him, they say, hey, Bill, you know, Halas and Lombardi, and he gets all sheepish. You know, rarely does he do that, but he does in that situation. You're in that conversation. He's in it. He's one of the great coaches of all time. You look at this team, and I rank the starters 1 through 46 in this game. The Eagles are the better team.
Thank you, Pete.
They are.
Appreciate, and you're a football guy. I appreciate you saying that.
I rank the top 10. You know how many Patriots are in the top 10?
Should be at least
three.
Two or three.
Three. It's
Gronk, Brady, and
who's third? McCourty?
Hold on. No.
He didn't play that well this year.
Trey Flowers?
It's Flowers.
It's Flowers.
Because McCourty didn't play that well this year. Yep. Butler didn't play that well this year. And Gilmore had half a year where he was not, you know,
out
not good. So Flowers has been the one consistent. But you look at that front seven. Look at that. You know, people love propping up Van Noy. He's not very good. Roberts isn't very good. Brown played pretty well this year. And Flowers is very good. The other guys, we can get Eric Lee off the street. He plays snaps. I mean, it's amazing what they've done with this team.
Eagles are a better team. Do they win the game?
No. It's going to come down just like it always does. Patriots play close Super Bowls. This will be a close Super Bowl. And in the end, number 12 is going to have the ball in his hands. He's going to go need to get a field goal or a touchdown, and he's going to go get it. Period. End of story. He will go get it.
See, I think Philly's going to win the game.
You do?
I
You're just
Philly.
Being the local contrarian.
No, I'm really not.
I know how that goes.
No, I mean, listen, there's some of that. I mean, I'm not saying I've never done it in the past. But in this case, I do believe that Philadelphia has a better team. Now, the quarterback thing, you know,
you're going to pick, you know, I always pull out jokingly, I do this with Brady Quinn when we work with him. I go, the quarterback scales. You're going to pull out the quarterback scales and pick that guy?
Okay, but they have the quarterback scales in every game that they play in.
Correct.
And they do lose.
But the quarterback scales in the Super Bowls, okay, go back to them. Eli was much better than Nick Foles.
Agreed.
Okay. Jake Delhomme, the year he played, was better than Nick Foles.
Mm.
He had a good year that year.
He did.
I used to call him Jake the Fake, so I'm with you on that. But yeah. Okay, the other ones. Go back and this is the worst quarterback they're facing.
True.
So
see, I don't think Foles is as bad as everyone else does.
I think Foles is average.
I think he's below average. I think he's a career backup who's had two good weeks. He had the, you know, I remember when he had the 27-2 season, and I wrote this whole thing about it was an accident. It was schemed open, everything, easy throws, and all the guys in Philly, oh, he's the long-term answer. I said, no, he's not. He won't be, and he isn't. He was talking about retirement, so how much does he love the game? He's 27 years old. He's going to walk away from the game. And they did a great job against Atlanta of scheming that run-pass option stuff that they do. He threw an interception to Keanu Neal in the middle of the field. And he kicked it away. Otherwise, they probably don't even win that game. Then last week, I give him credit. And I give Doug Peterson more credit to him. They ambushed Minnesota. They had no idea what was coming. Those deep balls down the field, they didn't throw any of those. But I don't think he's very good. I think Doug Peterson's really good. He's that good.
You believe in Doug Peterson?
I think, you know what? He's not going to get scared off in the moment. And he's a backup quarterback, right? That's his whole career. So when he went into a game, what did he want? He didn't want to be protected. He wanted to play real quarterback. He wanted to be able to throw the football. Why are you changing it for me? I could do it too. So he goes into this game, in this playoffs, he's not changing it for him. He's not going to change it. He's not going to change it in this game. He's going to be aggressive. He's going to scheme it up. The question is, can Foles run it?
Do the Eagles win if they have Carson Wentz?
Yes, they do. They do. I think from your standpoint, they're the better team. I mean, the front sevens, they're significantly better on both sides of the ball. Their offensive line, defensive line. But you got to take in the X factors. New England. Skarnecchia takes five guys. He could take the five of all of us sitting here, and we'll be good tomorrow. You know, that's how good he is. Those guys aren't good. Collectively, they're very good.
So how's Philly's linebacking core? I've been meaning to ask someone this.
They're good, very fast. You get caught out of position. You can get them out of position. They're very aggressive.
They're fast.
They're very fast. They're good. They're athletic. They're good in coverage. That could be a problem. But you know, at the Pro Bowl last week, I asked Weddle, I said, what's the toughest thing when you play the Patriots? He goes, you know what the toughest thing is? He goes, they got running backs that have 5-yard head start and get a two-way go on you. You can't stop that. He goes, every other team doesn't know how to use the running backs. They use tons of them, and they know how to use them. They're smart. It's a smart team, and they play that way.
Pete Prisco covers the league for CBS Sports. How do you feel the league is? Give me a state of the league, Jim.
I'm not one of those doomsday guys. I mean, look, the ratings are down a little bit. The ratings are down everywhere. You look at the Grammys last week. They were 20% off. People younger than us watch on their phones and their, you know, everything else, their tablets. So it's going to be a change. There's a change. There's always change. Is the league, you know, they have issues? Yeah, of course. The concussion situation, people concerned about that. That's obviously something to keep an eye on going forward. Are kids going to play football anymore? I don't think. I think you're going to see a lot of kids backing away from football. But the football's still a great sport.
How's the quality of the league? I feel it's really down, Pete.
It is down, and here's why it's down. Because of the union agreed to that CBA where they didn't practice. If you don't practice and you don't play, I was talking to Tony Baselli. When they played back in the day, they had 10 padded practices in camp a week. So you repped your offensive line. Guys work together. These guys go into pads like once every 4 days. You can't rep the line. The line play is atrocious, and that's why the quality of play is bad. You look around the league. Name the good offensive lines. They're hard to find. But these kids come into the game, play the college game. They pass and tap. They're all like, you know, going backwards. They don't know how to put their hand in the ground and run block. Then to change their habits, you don't have time to change their habits and teach them the technique because you're install, because you're only with them for X amount of days. I think the league has to do something about the time they hit A. You know, they want to be safe, but you got to rep the reps, and you want to be able to get these guys taught. You can't teach anymore. You can't teach the technique. All you do is install.
To me, the biggest problem is coaching. And maybe that ties into the practice time, but I don't think there's any good coaches. Who's the second-best coach in the league, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, right? It's clear Bill Belichick's number one.
Right, who's number two?
You might say Andy Reid, but he can't run in the playoffs.
If that's your second-best coach, you have a coaching problem. This is my point.
It's a hard game to coach. See, me, I'm a big believer in, aside from Bill, who does everything, most of the coaches should be a guy that hires two good coordinators and a bunch of good coaches and delegates and learns how to handle game day. Handle your players and handle game day. I mean, let's be real. You know, I take a lot of crap in New England because I criticize Bill for his end of games and decisions and everything else. The Baltimore Ravens playoff game, perfect example. He botched it at the end and they punted to the middle of the field and almost lost the playoff game. I don't care what he says. I'll take that to my grave. You know what? If we put him on a lie detector, we go, because he got away with one in the Super Bowl. I'm not going to call my timeout. I looked over and I saw them on there. No, you blew it. That was your time.
You're talking about Pete Carroll.
He let the time go off the clock. That was his time because Brady would have needed that. even having said that, he's still arguably the greatest coach of all time. But most of them have no idea how to handle.
None.
They don't look ahead. They don't say, hey, this is my time on the clock. If they're in third down, last 2 minutes of the first half, their offense is on the field, you're on defense, and it's third down, why don't you call timeout? They either score or kick a field goal. That's your time going off the clock. Nope, they sit there. Oh, no. And I ask coach, I go, why don't you call timeout? They say, well, we don't want to give them time to regroup. I go, you do realize if they wanted to regroup, they had their own timeout. These guys don't spin it forward. They don't think enough. And situational football is bad. Coaching is bad in terms of teaching the technique. They don't have the time to do it. And there's so much pressure. Learn this big book. We'll install. And then, meanwhile, the guy can't even put his hand in the ground and block. It's a problem. You're right. Coaching is a problem.
Coaching.
I don't know if it's so much that they're not good enough. They aren't doing the right things.
Okay. Pete Prisco, read him on CBS Sport. Do you even write anymore? You just do, like, videos?
Little writing, but more videos.
That's amazing how that's changed.
It really is. It's easier, though. You know that.
Yo, hell yeah.
You're finally using your looks.
Yeah, right? By the way, you guys know. You're both ex-writers. You know how easy it is.
Oh, my God. It's great not writing.
Yeah.
I love not writing.
Remember, you used to have to go transcribe interview guys and write, I'm going to do this. I got to call this guy back, get more quotes.
Oh, please.
This is easy. You sit in the radio.
Piece of cake.
That writing is work.
Sit here and create your persona, which nobody in Boston likes you to.
Sling a bunch of crap. All right, Pete, thanks for coming on.
See you guys.
We'll see you next year at the Super Bowl, too.
Felger and Maz.
This is Felger.
The man is beholden to no one.
And Maz.
I don't really know what to expect.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Robert and Jonathan Kraft. I'm with Andrea Kramer of NBC Sports. Last night, or whenever this ran, talking about the Patriots and the drama this year and the futures of Brady Belichick. So I think we have some insight here. So let's roll it. Give me the first Andrea Kramer cut with Robert and Jonathan.
Is there dysfunction in the organization now?
No.
There's no dysfunction.
No, wait.
Zero.
You have tension. I think tension, a certain amount of tension, helps make great things happen.
Dysfunction is when people take energy and use it to think about how to undermine other people. That does not happen. If it happens in this organization, I haven't seen it.
Okay. Admits to tension, which, you know, again, I'll take.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. The Jimmy Garoppolo trade was dysfunctional. That was dysfunctional. If you have a chance to get a first-round pick for a guy and you settle for a second because why? I still don't know. That's dysfunctional.
Well, I think you used the word before. It was negligent in terms of what you could get in return. And you know that the Browns or one of these other quarterback-starved teams would have given you a first-round pick. Yeah, that's dysfunction.
Look, people have why did they do that? What happened there with Garoppolo? And some people have floated that Belichick, it was almost out of spite. It was like, you know, all right, you make me trade this kid. Fine. We'll trade him. See what you get. And, like, Bill didn't care to maximize the asset because he was pissed at the Crafts for making him trade. So I'll show you. You know, here's your second-round pick. How does that taste? You know, that's dysfunctional if he did that. There's another theory that Bill took that one because he was hoping the Crafts would then veto it and say, well, I guess it's not worth it. Let's just keep the kid. That's dysfunctional. Like, that's not. So, when you talk about the return of the Garoppolo trade, not the fact that they traded him. They had to make a decision, one or the other, okay? So that's not dysfunctional. Only getting what you got for him, that had a little whiff of dysfunction. I'm sorry, it did. And then to spill all that, in, you know, that Wickersham story, I'm sorry. That's from Bill or Bill's camp, and that's, you know, people are telling secrets now.
The leaks came from within. They can't deny that.
So. I disagree. I think there was a slight whiff of dysfunction this year.
I mean, look, I don't know how he justifies that return is in the best interest of the football team. I mean, that's his line all the time. I'm just trying to do what's best for the team. How is that trade best for the team? It clearly meant something to him to have Garoppolo in a place where he thought Garoppolo could succeed. Okay? So that meant something to him. Now, why? Because it makes Bill look good if Garoppolo was somewhere else and he drafted and developed him and see I was right? Or did he do it in part because he feels indebted to the player? I don't know.
But I'll keep going. Again, them saying it wasn't dysfunctional. The Alex Guerrero stuff is a little dysfunctional. You got players wondering, do I go see Alex or do I go see the team? Do I want to get in good with the quarterback so I'll go see his guy? But if I go to the team, that pisses off Tom. But what if I go to Tom and then does that piss off the team? And they got to kick the guy off the plane? Is he over my shoulder, by the way? He's been hanging out in the food court, Alex, by the way.
No, I don't see him over your shoulder, no.
Like, that's a little dysfunctional, don't you think? So I don't know if I totally agree with the Crafts. And, I don't think, like, Rome is burning. I'm not telling you that this is the Dallas Cowboys of the 1990. I mean, true dysfunction leads to a divorce. And I think they'll work their way through their issues if they haven't already. But that was some unpatriotic stuff, and never mind the public nature of that. You know, that Wickersham story, man, people were talking. All right, what's the second cut there, Jimmy?
Can you envision a scenario where you're the one that has to tell Tom Brady it's time to retire as a Patriot?
I think Tom Brady's earned the right to have that be a decision he makes when he wants to make it.
Our intent is we have the best people in their respective positions, and we keep them here for a very long time.
As we sit here today, do you have any question that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady will be back as Patriots next season?
I appreciate you asking that question, and I'm not going to respond to it. You'll just have to see for yourself.
Like, I need the video with that. Did that come with a wink? Was that you know, sly old Robert Kraft kind of, you know, doing a bit there as he's wont to do? Because otherwise, you leave that to open interpretation. Is Bill going to be back next year? Is Tom going to retire? What? Huh?
Here's my prediction. They don't announce Belichick contracts, so it's not going to be like a press release. But we will hear of dual extensions for Brady and Belichick within short order and within days of each other. And Brady's will be announced. Bill's won't, but then someone will report it that Bill got an extension, and that's my prediction.
So, look, I think that there's a probability of that at this stage. Like, what else are they going to do? You know, they're keeping Brady, clearly.
But that piece that Jonathan said there, Tom's earned the right to make that call?
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to raise that myself.
That's no good.
No, that's not right. I mean, and I don't know if it's just lip service, because what are you going to do? Like, you're going to go on, do a national interview before the Super Bowl and say, well, when time for Tom to go, we'll tell him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, no way.
It's hard to do, but still.
But it's the wrong thing. So if Brady starts to deteriorate, but he still wants to play, you're going to let him?
You can't entitle him that much.
No, you can't is right. Which is why I don't believe that one. I don't. I just... You know, to me, there's no way that if they have a better option than Brady at some point, that they are going to continue with Brady. I don't see that happening.
All right. Add that to the list. We continued the discussion with you. Leo in Rhode Island. Hi, Leo.
Hey, how are you? Hey, Mike, why didn't you school that guy from the Eagles about the 2004 team being an all-time team that they weren't going to get beat?
Yeah, I don't really like do that fan arguing thing. I mean, I told the Philly people, Leo. I mean, I'm telling you, the amount of Philly people who act like, oh, that one just got away in 04 blows me away.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
They were a top five team ever.
I agree. That 04 Patriots team was a wagon.
Yep. That's not why I wanted to call. I wanted to call and give you guys an example of Belichick mind games. Remember in 2011 when the Cowboys came to Gillette and he made them wear their blues?
Yeah.
Those Cowboys never wear their blues. Nobody ever makes a move. They own all the stadiums. They're always wearing that white. Belichick made them because the home team gets to choose what color they wear.
I got you.
Made them wear their blues because they wore their whites that day.
Okay, other teams have done it though, Leo. The Redskins used to do it to them all the time. That's why you always often see the Cowboys in blue in Washington.
Oh, absolutely. Pissed him off.
Redskins always turn him around. So the Pats aren't the only one. I still hate the white jersey in the Super Bowl. I hate the white jersey in the Super Bowl. I think it's overthinking it, man. It is overthinking it. And I don't – they're still going to win. It's not going to cost them. But how do I feel about that jersey choice in the Super Bowl? Bad. Overthought. You're going to play into some superstition. You're the Patriots. You're better than this Eagles team. You should wipe the floor with them. You need the jersey to help you out? Ah, come on.
I like the blue jersey anyway.
I'm pro white jersey. They're doing the right thing here. They've had success with the white jersey in this game. And I know I'll get mocked for it again. Maybe there is something with this stadium. He knows a little something with these purple seats and the blue jerseys kind of get lost in the wash when Brady's trying to throw to a receiver.
Where'd you hear that one?
Oh, I've said that before, and you mocked me late last week, and then Gasper and I talked about it on Saturday, because Chris said, you know, there may be something to this, that with the purple seats, the blue jerseys get lost against that when Brady's trying to throw to a receiver or Gronk or whatever.
And the purple seats.
You're not going to be able to see the seats.
Easier to see. Well, there's other colors. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe there's something behind it. Belichick's thought of this, and he's playing chess while everyone else is playing chess.
If the whites are your jersey, then wear them at home. Be a white team at home. I think that's cool. That's fine. But you just switch it up for this game? Mm-mm. Nope. Don't like the whiff.
Yeah, but Felgate gets hot in the dome and the white jersey.
Ben in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Ben. What do you got?
How you doing, guys? Yeah, I just want to talk about the Alex Smith trade. What is, in God's name, was Washington thinking with that deal? They had the quarterback, and then they give up assets to bring in an older, probably not as good quarterback. I mean, I see Cousins going to, like, Denver or Jacksonville. That could be pretty intriguing. What do you guys think?
I phrased this before. If you're a Redskins fan, how do you feel about it? And I'm kind of, if I'm a Redskins fan, I'm like, I'm pissed. It's like, no. I would be for moving on for Kirk Cousins with someone with a higher ceiling, someone that's going to give me a chance to be better at that position. I know that's hard to predict if you go into the draft, but at least you draft someone with talent that you say he projects better than Kirk Cousins, so that's worthwhile to move on from. This is at best lateral. At best, I think Kirk Cousins is a little better.
Okay, but again, and they can still draft a guy.
You're right. You keep saying that. You're right. So if they trade for Alex Smith and draft a guy, then I'll say, okay, they've got a good, that's a good little plan there, and then you can go slow with the kid, and like, that's nice. But if this is it, I think it's a slight downgrade.
I mean, I think where they screwed up is not having drafted a guy already. I mean, I don't know who the backup is there or whether it's, but if it was anybody good, we'd be talking about him playing now that Cousins is gone. They felt the need to get Smith. So I think in terms of the short term, they came out of it okay in the short term.
Yeah, just okay. Like, you should make a move to get better.
But they weren't going to sign this guy, clearly. They weren't going to franchise him again. He didn't want to stay there, unless they were going to give him some astronomical contract.
So get better. Get better at the position.
Okay, but how?
So draft. Let's see what they do with the draft. Okay.
I mean, you talk about dysfunctional teams. They might be the number one dysfunctional team in the league.
That team is dysfunctional.
And I wouldn't put it past Dan Snyder and the rest of that ownership or management there to, you know, spitefully move on from Kirk Cousins because, you know, maybe they've put some deals in front of him and he wants more. He knows what he's worth. He's played himself up here. He can make a massive amount of money. And they're like, you know what? Screw you. We're going with Alex Smith instead. Oh, it's so stupid. Colt McCoy's the backup there, by the way.
Colt McCoy.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass.
I'm a hypocrite.
Wow.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Joining us now on set in the Big Y World-Class Market guest chair, Paul E. Paul Perillo, member of the Patriots organization, joins us now on Radio Row. How you doing, Pep?
We don't get to sing on location, right?
No, we will sing off the top of the hour like we usually do. So get right. Warm up your voice there, pal.
All right, Jim, you ready?
I am not.
Top of the hour, you'll be singing.
Are you enjoying your week?
Interesting. It's interesting. You guys have been at a lot of Super Bowls, and to have one basically take place in a mall. I mean, I feel like I've been in a mall for 24 hours since I got here on Saturday. It's definitely a different environment. And I would say all the things about the cold weather cities. There are enough warm weather cities in the U.S., I think, to host Super Bowls. I think we can get by. Let's get a L.A., Vegas, New Orleans, and Miami rotation going.
Vegas is perfect for the Super Bowl.
Right?
When you build a stadium in a godforsaken place, the owner's got to come with something else to give them. All right, so you don't just get a Super Bowl if you build a stadium in Timbuktu, okay? But we'll give you something else. So come up with a different incentive.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is kind of stupid.
I am looking forward to the stadium itself because it does look like it's a pretty neat place. But it's cold. I know that people don't necessarily want to listen to us bitch about the accommodations at the Super Bowl, but it's pretty tight in here in the mall.
The cold doesn't bother me. The mall pisses me off.
All right. Are you learning anything about the game, about the matchup, about this week?
You know, I've been trying to get – and that's what I've been focusing on a little bit in the time that we've actually been able to talk football with the players. And some interesting things. I think you look at Fletcher Cox is a guy that sticks out to me as a potential problem for the
Patriots. Disruptor.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I know the Patriots have generally been able to target guys, you know, like J.J. Watt and even Calais Campbell a little bit, but at what cost? When you do that, if you're going to make sure that Fletcher Cox doesn't disrupt, that's a pretty deep and talented front for Philadelphia. Does the rest of it sort of hurt you? So I talked a little bit to David Andrews about that yesterday, and he was, you know, as you would expect a Patriot to be when you're talking about the opposition.
Strategy, huh?
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, just talking about how disruptive he is and how athletic he can be, how quick the combination of the power, you know, for an inside guy, but he moves so fast, you almost don't think that way. And then he said, you know, forget about stats, too. His stats are great, but he affects so many more plays than stats would even indicate by beating a double team and allowing someone else to get in there and make a 3-yard loss for, you know, tackle for loss. So I think that's an interesting matchup, and
See, I'm starting to feel about him like I felt about Michael Bennett in the Seattle Super Bowl.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I talked about that in the 97 hours of live programming we're doing on the Not Done Network on Patriots.com. And that was one of the things I talked about. When you talk about J.J. Watt, everybody brings up J.J. Watt. Well, Houston has had some pretty good defensive games against the Patriots that J.J. Watt hasn't necessarily been a huge part of. And I would say Jacksonville last week. Well, I mean, I think you'd take 24, you know, if you're playing against the Patriots. They're a great offense. You know, you hold them, you know, Joey Bosa is another guy, right, against the Chargers. Let's make sure he doesn't disrupt the game. Well, what did the Patriots score that day? 21 points. I think defenses would go into games saying, if we can hold them under 25, we'll take a shot. We'll be in the game. And Michael Bennett was another perfect example. I thought he dominated that game until Cliff Avril left with the concussion. The 14 Super Bowl in Arizona, I think the game changed at that point, and they finally started to move the football. But Michael Bennett was a real problem for the Patriots that day.
Do you give the Eagles a chance here?
I do give them a chance, and I want to be careful. I didn't get a chance to chat with you guys ahead of the AFC. I did not give Jacksonville a sniff.
Me neither.
I did not, and I will take my comeuppance on that one. I thought it was going to be one of those games that the Jags would make mistakes on offense, and that would lead to a lot of points. Defensively, I wasn't surprised what Jacksonville was able to do. I do think they have a good defense. I thought it was a little overrated going in. I no longer think that. I thought that was pretty impressive what they did. I kind of think that the Patriots, I feel confident with the Patriots the same way, and I'm sort of reluctant to just go all in the way I did that time because I was so wrong.
I'm the same way. I'm the same way. My heart says that they're going to blow these turkeys out. But I said the same thing about Jacksonville, and I was wrong. Right. So, like, I'm
and this is a better team than Jacksonville.
Do you think so?
I do. I think Jacksonville has individual talent on defense that's better. I think Jalen Ramsey, the Eagles don't have a corner like that. Fletcher Cox, we talked about. He's a great player. But the front-line talent for Jacksonville, like Campbell and some of those guys, Miles Jack, Telvin Smith, the Eagles don't have linebackers like that. So individually, I think the Jaguars on defense are better. But this is a good team, and they're much more balanced between offense and defense than Jacksonville is.
All right,
balanced and deep. Is that what you said, Paul? Balanced and deep.
Why is he yelling?
Because he's been saying that for three straight days.
Why are you yelling at me?
Because I think the Eagles are going to win this game.
Oh.
I do.
Why are you even having me on? Let's just listen.
No, but believe me, he's been a savior this week.
I picked the Eagles. I don't think Foles is as bad as everyone else does. And listen, would I tell you I'm confident in Nick Foles? No. I mean, how could I be? But I do think that Peterson is a good play caller. He's got a lot of talent on that offense.
Yeah.
And I think the Patriots defense, frankly, isn't that good. So, I'm not sure they need a great quarterback in this game. They just need a good quarterback.
If Philadelphia wins, then you're going to be talking a lot about Nick Foles because he's going to have played well. And I don't necessarily disagree with anything Tony said. I don't think that Foles will be able to do it is kind of where I'm falling. And you look at the individual stuff, again, the matchups, the wide receivers, they have three good wide receivers. None of them are great. Aguilar and Torrey Smith.
You think Jeffrey's great?
I don't think Jeffrey's great. I don't think the Patriots think he's great either. And I'm going to sort of try to pick at that a little bit this week. I think they feel like he's one of those big guys that makes, he's a physical guy, but he's not really a gifted route runner. And I think they feel like they can neutralize him. I've seen different theories as to how they're going to match up. I mean, it would seem to me that
Gilmore.
You have Gilmore on him, and you have Butler on Aguilar and Torrey Smith with Eric Rowe, but I've seen some things that have mixed that up a little bit. I think Andy Benoit from Sports Illustrated had some different matchups that he expects the Patriots to come out in. So I'm going to try to figure if I can get to the bottom of that.
All right.
I'll get back to you.
Oh, yeah, okay. You get to the bottom of it, and then you check back in with my people.